Good morning. If you want to open the fault, you're wrong in your Bibles. We'll be going to John chapter 6. And Kevin, you knew we were going to put you to work, man. It was going to happen. And there's a reason for that. I mean, we just appreciate your mind, your thoughtfulness, and your willingness to serve God. And that was developed over a course of time. And there's no reason why any one of us could not be like that. And what an encouraging thing it is to be here with you guys today as well. When we go to the Bible, I'm very comforted to know that there is an answer for everything, especially things of old and of modern day. They can be debunked simply by using Scripture, but of course it's us to be prepared, to know what the Scriptures say, to know where they're at, and again, that takes some time and effort to develop. And we have a number of people who want to seems to be discredit God's word today. They'll say, oh, there's a number of different interpretations. It's just impossible to understand. But as we know, it's an excuse. It's a lame excuse as that. And they just have a lack of understanding. And of course, we were there at one point in time of not understanding completely. But we understand that we had such a good, powerful Bible study here today in the adult class. You know, sometimes when we're challenged, we're questioned, it kind of causes us to doubt. So knowing His promises and what side we want to be on those promises are really important to know which ones we should strive, because there's the promises in which cause condemnation, and there's ones in which we will be able to benefit and glorify God forever and ever. And this, of course, would imply that we have free will to choose which side of those promises we desire to be on, although it's going to take the work to obtain them. So today's lesson are just some thoughts I have on free will. And we see people express their free will in a number of different ways, which some we agree with and some we don't. And so, as we go down this path, I don't want to go over the predestination versus free will. I think the majority of us would agree here that we have free will to choose and decide. But the sermon is more geared towards our free will and what are we doing with it here today. And the wonderful thing about free will is we were designed like that. It was a free gift given to us. It's a part of creation. It's what makes you unique. And each one of us are going to use our own free will to go down certain paths. And those are going to create different experiences. And your experiences are going to be able to influence others. And that's a wonderful thing about what the gospel, the word of God, is able to do in each one of us. And of course, we must remember, without choice, there can be no expression of free will. And of course, your life, it's going to be full of choices, right? Each and every single day, you're going to be full of choices ahead of you, full of opportunity. And if we didn't have free will, what would be the point of such things as Adam and Eve, right? God advising Adam and Eve to do different things and do certain choices that would impact the rest of history. What would be the point of, if we didn't have free will, to discipline our children, the chastening, or we allow them to be spoiled? You know, it's our responsibility to make sure that we're doing those things. And of course, there's things in which my parents did that I don't necessarily agree with, and, you know, raising Eli. And Eli's going to have that same ability, if he's granted children one day, to be able to choose and decide what's best for him and his family. And that's a wonderful thing in which he's going to be able to be granted. Now, as for you, you had the free will to come here today. You could have stayed at home, stayed in bed, maybe had a number of different things to do, but you decided that you're going to take the time and effort to come out here and worship God. It was your free will to choose and decide. And when you came through those doors, you weren't forced to sit in these seats in which you're at. No. It's kind of the beautiful thing. There's things maybe people you haven't seen in a while. You want to sit near them, talk, and have a good time, and worship God, and be here together. And one thing, in ways that we're designed and things like that, I always find it a little interesting that majority of the men, if you look around, we sit on the outside. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's a protection thing and stuff like that. Where, you know, maybe you have children, they sit on the outside, and then you want to get to the back, maybe the, you know. There's different things like that, the way in which we're designed. And it's kind of a cool little thing if you look around and see that. And each one of us in our roles and the development and how we use our free will once again. are really important in regards to impacting others. And sometimes, it may seem in regards to our choices and how we use free will, there may be these limited choices in which we have. But nonetheless, there is a choice. And sometimes those choices may be incredibly, incredibly difficult. And when we think about God and His authority, because He'll call us to do certain things, and we may not always be so gung-ho, like, man, I got to do this, even though it's for our benefit. And sometimes we're a little hard-headed, and it takes us some convincing. But He expects us to do it. There is still a choice, nonetheless. It comes down to this obedience versus disobedience. Where are we going to go into that? And we must not get that mixed up in regards to not having a choice, because you do. You absolutely do. The thing about God and His beauty and how He has designed each one of us is that He's given us this ability, but He's not going to force you. He's not forcing you to follow Him, but He absolutely wants you. He loves you, and He would not have sent His Son if that wasn't the case. So I want to turn to John chapter 6, because I think it's a really good example of this. John 6, and we're going to pick it up in verse 60. And this is the point in which the disciples and following Him, they didn't necessarily fully understand what God was conveying to them. A lot of times He speaks in the spiritual nature, which we may not fully understand at the time, but again, it was for their benefit, and we see that here. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this is a hard saying, who can understand it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, "Does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, "Therefore I said to you that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted to him by My Father." From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go?" See, Jesus wasn't forcing them to stay. They had a basic lack of understanding, which, again, we have struggled with that. But He was like, "No, where are you going? And sometimes we're like that. And God was asking, "Where are you going?" He's not forcing you to do anything. Of course, He's setting the standard. The way He has designed things to be. Because that's His authority to do so. And I wonder about that sometimes. Like, why would God choose different things the way that they are? And some of it's my lack of just understanding what they may be. I mean, you think the way God has designed outer space, Earth, with its gravity and its atmosphere and things like that. And you look to His Word, and why did He take Adam's rib to create woman? I wonder why He did that, but His authority to do so. I wonder why circumcision? Why did it have to be that as a part of the old covenant? But He decided that's how it was going to be. And I also think about, of course, with Jesus and any sacrifice of old, why blood? He lays it out for us, but I was like, why couldn't it be some way different? And imagine if I were to go to God with that question. And I think about all the things I've had to give up. Because I've had to give up. I've had to give up family. I've had to leave some of them behind. That's a really hard thing to do, right? Any other people have done the same thing in regards to friends. You think about how my language has to be a particular way. How I have to dress, modest and things like that. And, you know, Sunday worship, I could be out. You know, why does it have to be Sunday? Why do we have to gather? You know, why, you know, all this money in which we give back to the Lord, why does it have to be that way, God? Do I wish things were different? No. Absolutely not. How dare I ever think I could know better than God? How dare I ever put myself in that position? And that's what we tend to do. We put ourselves in God's position when we have no authority to do so. And what He has given me, what He has done for all of us, fails in comparison to anything in which I could ever give up for Him. And if I think about the many blessings, I've got so much more back, and I am undeserving of these things. I have a loving Father. I have forgiveness of my sins. I have a heavenly home that awaits me. I have a spiritual family. And God has blessed me with a wonderful wife and a beautiful, beautiful child, which I have the opportunity to live each and every single day experiencing life on earth for as long as He desires that to be. And I encourage you, whatever things you may be holding on to that don't match up with God's word, to just let it go. Because there are better things ahead. And I know I'm proof of that. And there are a number of people around here today that are proof of that as well. And of course, when we think about free will, if there is anyone that would not want us to think we don't have a choice, especially if we've given over to sin, that is Satan. Again, God wants you, but He's not going to force your will. And He will allow our hearts and our minds to be giving over to that sinful nature if we allow it to be so. So if we turn over to Romans, the first chapter, Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So we see, when we don't follow God, when we're not thankful, we're not grateful, we're not content, we do tend to get off that straight and narrow path. And it says we're without excuse here. We know better. And yet this just shows how powerful the sinful nature of man is. And if we choose a life separate from Him, which He will allow us to be, and you have every right to choose that, which none of us would want that for you, and neither would Him. And people will say, why would I follow God? Would follow a God that will condemn people? Although you're really only looking at it through one lens. You're not really considering your involvement, Satan's influence. Those things are out of the equation when you do that. And I think about the example. Let's say there was a teacher and you were one of the students, and you weren't doing the homework, you weren't coming to class. And if you had an expectation that you were moving on, you were sadly, sadly mistaken. And that's the same thing when it comes to the life after this. If we are following our particular path or doing different things, and we have the expectation that we're going to be with God one day, forever and ever, how short we are going to fall, and they will be the biggest mistake of your life. And of course, God knows that we're going to mess up. God, we are going to fall short. In a classic verse, we think about in regards to continually keeping on singing and doing those things in which we fall short on, Romans 6:2, should we continually sin? Certainly not. We're to go back to God. His grace, His love is there waiting for you. And all you have to do is ask, because He's willing to give. And if I think about Satan and his influence upon our free will, he really loves to play to our emotions. And Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. He's incredibly crafty, but he especially plays on our emotions. And we have free will to choose how we respond. We don't have to give in to those emotions. The free will should absolutely empower us. Empower us to make that decision to not go down that path of anger or, you know, all those emotions that we come to mind that would cause us to act in a particular way not pleasing to Him. And a lot of times it's just a shift in the mindset that we need sometimes, taking a step back. When I think about Elijah and he blows up and he's having this just temper tantrum, which although he's good a lot of times, don't get me wrong, and y'all have seen that, like, he's such a good boy, he has his moments, and you know, that's just a part of parenthood and a part of children. And someone said to me, you know, if he was in that moment, because my first reaction is to, Elijah, you know, knock it off. You know, raise my voice at him and stuff like that. That would be my first reaction. I'm going to say, I haven't done that before. But if someone said to me, if you had a time machine where you could go back, you know, 80 years old to that moment where he's blowing up and things like that, would you take it? And would you act differently? Absolutely. Now, without hesitation, I would go back. And so I tried to take that perspective and shifting the mindset. When I'm ready to blow up, because that example could be applied to a number of different things. You know, I really think about and consider my influence, the way I'm coming across. And is that pleasing to God? So something to think about and consider. Now, in regards to free will, I also want to bring up some questions, such as, did Jesus have free will? What are you doing with your free will? And will you follow him? So the first question, did Jesus have free will? And of course, we can go to the Bible for that answer. In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. That's going to be in verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Because when we think about Jesus' mission and what everything he had accomplished, it was a task which no man, without the right mindset, without the right obedience, could have accomplished. And nonetheless, it was the Son of Man. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, just Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And this is what makes Jesus so great, and how we can go to him and how he can relate to us, is that he took on the flesh. He was tempted as we were tempted, and yet did it with absolute perfection. It was of absolute obedience. And if you think about all the things he gave up, leaving the glories of heaven to take on the flesh, knowing how evil it is and how challenging it would be, how the suffering in which he would have to go through and did by being beaten, spit upon, crown of thorns placed upon his head, his hands and his feet pierced and placed upon that cross. Although he suffered physically, he suffered spiritually as well by being on that cross and being separated from God. And he did all that out of his free will for us, because he could have stopped it. We know from Matthew 26, he could have stopped a number of different things that were happening to him, and yet he didn't, because he knew the plan of salvation was at hand, and it was his choice to go through with it. Matthew 26:53. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide with me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happened thus? So again, Jesus had free will. And he used that free will to choose us. And what a blessing that is. And the follow-up question would be, you know, will you choose him? And what are you doing with that free will to choose him? And, you know, we're alive here today. And it's a great thing. You're alive. You're here. And what a blessing and what a wonderful opportunity that is. And in the country in which we are in, we have a number of advantages. And of course, we don't know how long those advantages are going to take place. We see a number of different things changing. And of course, that definitely can impact us in a particular way. But of course, these things are going to pass. These things are to happen. God's people are going to be persecuted. These are things in which we know. But while we have these freedoms to speak freely, to go out there and preach, to be gathered together, may we take advantage of that. And if we're not, shame on us. Now, it's of course the blood and the Savior, Jesus Christ, who truly sets us free. And in the spiritual warfare in which we're in, you know, we need to go to a number of different passages to help us to understand where our hearts need to be. So I want to turn over to 1 John chapter 2, picking it up in verse 15 as a good reminder in regards to perspective. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. And salvation is ultimately between us and God. I want to think about that with that in mind. But how are we influencing other people? Because a huge part of what we read here today, it's others. If we're doing it all for ourselves, we've missed a huge point of what God is calling us to do and to be. And to understand that there's a love out there far beyond anything physically in which they could have. And I want to bring the highlight, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Picking it up in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any effect and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. And what a great attitude to have. Esteem other people better than oneself. To put themselves before their own interests, although looking out for your own. That's a really a mind state as a Christian should have. And even though we may have to do the right thing sometimes, they're difficult and they're challenging. And I think 1 Corinthians chapter 10 pairs very well with Philippians 2 here. Because if we think about 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And again, that's putting yourself below others. And that is not always an easy thing to do. And we've had a number of different sermons on that. Because we know it's something that continually needs to be highlighted, and we come back and gather together to be re-energized
in those efforts throughout the week as we have another one ahead. And the months ahead and the years ahead for as long as God will allow it to be. So as we think about our conduct among others and how we have a great influence and such a responsibility as Christians, look to God and His wisdom for guidance. Because we are to be the salt of the earth, the light, the seed spreaders. And it is our fulfillment in God that should absolutely bring us the most joy in those times of difficulty. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you have the absolute freedom to choose. And I hope you choose the ones that would please God. And in regards to this choice between obedience and disobedience, we cannot serve two masters, as the scripture says from Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And if you're in the middle, you have already chosen a side. There's bits and pieces I may like from over here, and bits and pieces I may like over here. But you are still over there. And therefore, you have chosen your side. And a life as a Christian is not an easy one. But He expects it of us because it's His authority. And how much more He's giving you back than you could ever deserve. And as I think about my life before Him, and I think about all everybody else, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Before God, I am a broken man. I am a sinner. I am hopeless. I am lost. But with Jesus, in which He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And please turn over to John 6, because there's a few more things after that that I think are really, really good to point out. Excuse me, John 14. So you have the word if in chapter 7 after he says this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If recognizes that we have a decision. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. Down to verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you have that choice to do those exact things in which he's laying out there, as well as a number of different ones. And as we look to the Bible, we have a number of different people that use their free will to choose. And I am so impressed with them. Because the difficult decisions in which they went through are likely nothing compared to what I will ever have to go through in my life. But they did it because they knew it was worth it. And again, I can be made to be like any one of them. They were men just like you and me. They were motivated. They had the right mindset, the goal in mind, and the love of the Father. So in closing, again, I hope you choose your free will to choose Him, because you have a far better life with Him than without Him. Spiritual death is something that I don't want for you, and neither does God, and no one else does here either. And of the passages I would like to leave you with, I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Because I think it summarizes really, really well in regards to this decision of life with God or without Him. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 15. And of course, this is a context of Moses speaking to God. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil.
In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And that is offered to anybody here today. If you are not a Christian, you have free will to choose to not to be. It's not what anybody would want for you. They want that life for you, everlasting. And you have an opportunity to be baptized into him today, forgiving your sins forever and ever. And for those of us who are Christians and following that path, maybe we've used our free will, our choice is not necessarily to please him. And it's time to get back. And if there's anything we can do to pray for you in that, please make it known. As today is the day. Let us stand. Let us sing.